gender wars. At the Biblical Worldview Summit, we are working body, mind, and spirit, seeking to apply the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life. And we need 2020 vision. Here we are entering a new decade. And we have a magnificent opportunity of getting 2020 Biblical Worldview vision. When missionaries started to go to China, they were horrified to find foot binding. The Chinese people thought that small, dainty feet was most beautiful on women. And so from an early age, they would bind their feet. And their feet were more like hooves. And girls were forced, I mean, if you know what it is to have sore feet, on the left you see what happens to foot binding, and on the right, a normal, healthy feet. And so the missionaries, such as Gladys Aylward, led the charge against foot binding as a most wicked cultural practice. And this was practiced for centuries. Well, if you think foot binding is bad, there are other practices. There are some tribes in Africa that want to stretch earlobes, stretch lips, and fit port sort of pottery type vessels in. And then there's head binding. There's some tribes that believe that having a conical shaped head is very beautiful. And so they bind the head of the children. And you can see this poor little kid looks like he's already got a migraine. And you would too, if you had to have that kind of head binding. Well, if you think foot binding's bad, and if you think head binding's bad, we've got mind binding going on right now and soul binding in our universities. Let's look at the gender agenda war against men. The nationwide campaign this last year proclaiming men are trash was launched at the University of Cape Town. After the brutal murder of a young student from UCT, 19-year-old Yuneni Mirwatyana. Neni was murdered by a 42-year-old Khayelitsha resident and a postal worker at Claremont Post Office. And these flowers just represent some of the grief and the serious heartbreak of many people. This is just like one murder and rape too many. And here, this campaign, particularly at UCT, accused all men of being murderers and rapists guilty of femicide. You've heard of genocide? Well, this is femicide. This has become part of an insidious gender agenda, a war against men and actually a war against the family. Guilt by gender. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Whatever happened to the facts? What is behind this politics of guilt and pity? R.J. Rush Jr. wrote a book by that title, Politics of Guilt and Pity. Enough is enough, am I next? Where does this guilt manipulation campaign lead? This is the whole student body of University of Cape Town gathered on the steps of Jamison Hall. And at last, they're making some kind of stand against violence and murder and rape, which is about time. But the whole attitude was, men are trash. Men are raping us. Now, wait a minute. You can't say all men are doing this, but this is what they are saying. And Cyril Ramaphosa only fed the flames with more irresponsible comments. Reporting rape is like being raped again in court, and it's true in many cases that criminal justice system and the police service put undue pressure and extraordinary, it's like another rape going through the judicial system. You could say our justice system's being raped. And of course, we've got the Zondo Commission with piles of evidence, but no action yet. I mean, how many years does it take them to come around to some action? These government agencies are outrageous in their slowness to action. Well, interesting enough, the police who can't deal with crime and they can't deal with all the vast amounts of evil going on in the country, the moment some knockoff, whether it's cell phones or some kind of illegal clothing, something that claims to be Nike but it isn't, suddenly they're out there and they can sweep up all of the, what do we call them, generic copies, fakes. What's the correct word? Well, that doesn't sound like the correct term. Is there a better term for it? At any rate, they're picking up what they call fake. Somebody's made it, but it's got the wrong branding on it. Anyway, this sort of thing is just because it threatens Chinese businessmen. That's basically it. But what's the implications of this men are trash gender war? Well, they went and burned out the house where this postal worker lived. Is he the only person who lived in that house? What about his grandmother? What about other people who lived there? Is this really the solution? Stop investing your money in a land that lets rapists walk free. Well, we've got a lot of rapists walking free, that's true. 9% of rapes come to court. 9%, and very few of those result in any kind of penalty at all. Psalm 55 verse 11 says, destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lives never leave its streets. How should we as Christians respond in a biblical and balanced way to these kind of events? First of all, it is irrational to pronounce a whole gender of people guilty. That's like half the world's population. You cannot pronounce an entire gender of people guilty of any crime. It's not rational and it is not fair. If any individual is murdered or raped, let that be tested and caught in accordance with the law. Do not do anything against your neighbor that you would not want done to yourself. Do unto others as you'd want done to yourself. You don't want to claim that all women are whores and baby killers. Neither is it fair to call all men murderers and rapists. It's just ridiculous. You can't do that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So, men are trash is the latest fashion and t-shirts up at University of Cape Town. Men are trash is the slogan. And by the way, you'll notice men are part of this campaign screaming men are trash up at UCT too. So effective is guilt manipulation. Or should I say, males. And some people know where they belong. Well, many are trashy. Let's be honest. Many are trashy in their thoughts, trashy in their words, trashy in their actions, trashy in their clothes, as Daniela pointed out. Both men and women often act like trash and leave trash behind and trash their schools and their classrooms and the hospitals. And these people are protesting because Donald Trump is not mentally stable. Yeah, you get people like that out there. Most of our media and most of our music is also trash. Let's face it. Trash in, trash out. Garbage in, garbage out. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The porn culture has led to the pornification of a generation. What used to be XXX, XXX, banned, despised, shocking, is now mainstream, accepted, and legal. Celebrated even. Gangster, pimp, hip-hop culture, porn culture has produced a generation with foul mouths, vile minds, perverted imaginations, and selfish, shallow, superficial, and self-serving. Why are we shocked by the fruit of a sick, selfish, and perverted culture? Pagans for gay rights. Well, at last we see something honest. Because gay rights is thoroughly pagan. It's as pagan as Sodom. When the ANC was talking about legalizing pornography, we warned that this would be the consequence. Increase in rape. And they just laughed. I stood there in Parliament, testified of these things, gave the statistics on the US Attorney General's Commission on Pornography, James Dobson's testimonies and all the others. Pornography is the theory, rape is the practice. Yes. And the ANC members of Parliament sat there and they laughed at me. Pornography is the theory. Rape is the practice. Pornography is a manual for rape. When pornography was illegal in this country, rape was almost unknown. Now it's so common. They say that a woman in South Africa has about as much chance of being raped as learning to read. Legalized pornography and legalized blasphemy in the media. And situation ethics and evolutionism in the classroom inevitably leads to increased rape and murder. You came from monkeys. Don't be surprised if people behave like it.
Right.
There's no right and wrong. There's no heaven and hell. There's no consequences eternally. Don't be surprised if what we sow is what we reap. There is a war against fathers. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, begins with a blessing and ends with a warning of a curse. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. The book of Malachi begins with a blessing, and it ends with this warning of a curse. Repentance and faith in Christ will be seen in the restoration of family relationships. The hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the children turn towards one another again. Certainly that was my experience. Shamefully, I clashed with my father frequently. I argued over many issues. However, my conversion to Christ brought conviction of sin. And the first sin I repented of was lack of gratitude. And the second was disrespect for my parents, particularly my father. I had an argumentative relationship with my father, but regeneration led to a radical transformation of my relationship with my parents, and in time, this led to both my parents turning to Christ. Well, in the case of my father, it took 8 years. By God's grace, my father experienced a real life transformation that comes from repentance and faith in Christ. God turned my heart to truly love, honor, and respect my father, and God graciously turned my father's heart to me. And before he died on Christmas Eve, 1986, I heard my father say for the first time in my life, "Son, I'm proud of you." Much of the world today is under a severe curse. The Old Testament ends with a warning of a curse. Families are the basic building block of society. As goes the home, so will go the nation. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long in the land. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Considering how foundational fathers are to civilization, it should not surprise us that fathers have been singled out for ridicule and vicious attack. Hollywood's most despised villain is the father. How many Hollywood films vilify and demonize fathers? Jeffrey Bodkin produced an important presentation on Hollywood's most despised villain, the father. Patriarchy is hated. Paternalism is now a swear word to the liberal left. Fatherly or paternal used to be one of the most positive terms, but not anymore. Now paternalism is a swear word. Robin Morgan, editor of Ms. magazine, wrote, "I feel that being man-hating is an honorable and viable political act." What's on the cover of this Ms. magazine? Recognize this goddess of Hinduism? Kali. Kali is like a black widow. She kills the men she sleeps with. She has got, not in this picture, but Kali traditionally has the heads of different men in each of her 8 hands, hang by the head, by the hair, decapitate, and she's got skulls of men around her neck, and she's got the arms of men used as a loincloth around her waist. That's Kali, the goddess of Hinduism. And so no wonder Ms. Magazine thinks Kali is their favorite goddess. She kills the men. She's a black widow. Hating men is an honorable and viable act. Linda Gordon wrote, "Families must be destroyed, and people must find better ways of living together. The breakup of families is an objectively revolutionary process." Now, just think for a moment of your family. Do you want to see your family smashed to pieces? That's the goal of the radical feminist movement. The nuclear family must be destroyed. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. The Organization of Women in America declares marriage constitutes slavery. We must concentrate on attacking this institution. What institution? Marriage. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. Now, I would have thought marriage gave protection and respect and security to women. But according to the feminists, it must be destroyed. Like, women are going to be better respected, more provided for, more secure on their own outside in a world that will use and abuse them and dump them just as fast. It is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not live with men. What's the alternative? All of history must be rewritten in terms of the oppression of women. The only history books we want are history books that depict men as oppressors, women as the oppressed, and basically advocating revolution. And so, these are the American Chronicles of Women's Equality. How long must women wait for equality? Keep abortion safe and legal. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft. Has anybody noticed an explosion of films where women heroes in films are witches, have all kinds of witches' powers and so on? Witchcraft. The abortion matrix film is an extraordinary expose by a good friend of ours who runs the apologetics group. And he shows how witches, Satanist covens in America, are running the abortion industry. They show from the social media and website pages, thank you, of the local coven or Wicca group or Satanist group, as the case may be, and then they show the local Planned Parenthood, the same structure. The high priestess, she's the director of the clinic, all the way down. They've got testimonies of people who were converted out of this, who were in there and said they had to get themselves pregnant to conceive a baby so the baby could be born and sacrificed to Satan. Satan wants the most innocent of all blood. And they saw every abortion as a sacrament, as a sacrifice and an offering to Lucifer. The abortion matrix, absolutely extraordinary expose that a vast amount of the abortion industry is not just people making money, but people honoring and worshiping Satan. So that when you see a church or a mission that's an outreach center for the kingdom of God, you've got to look at an abortion center as an outreach center for hell. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, declared, "The best thing you can do with a baby boy is kill it. The most merciful thing a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it," said Margaret Sanger. And at times she identified baby boys as the particular goal. Slavs, Latins, and Hebrew immigrants are human weeds, a dead weight of human waste. Blacks, soldiers, and Jews are menace to the race. 1922, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. And yet you have people like Hillary Clinton. Thank God for Planned Parenthood. How can you thank God for what's 100% against God? Margaret Sanger said, "We want to exterminate the Negro population." Is that an accurate quote?
Yes, the Negro project.
And she said, "We need to recruit some Negro preachers in order to advance this in the Negro suburbs in order to exterminate the Negro people. But we mustn't let them know that's our goal," but that was the goal, and this is documented. This isn't a theory. This is a fact. No woman can call herself free who does not own and control her body. Her motto, no gods, no masters. Well, let me tell you, this woman is Antichrist. The Planned Parenthood woman, National Women's Movements of America, they are thoroughly worshipping Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger is their patron saint. Every abortion stops a beating heart. Abortion kills. You must not murder. Abortion is murder. Life, abortion. Just to make it quite clear, in case people in Parliament don't get the message. This banner here, the scripture banner, got confiscated by order of President Thabo Mbeki and burned. We were outside Parliament, opening of Parliament, and we know Thabo Mbeki saw it because minutes after his car passed by into the Rowland Street entrance to Parliament, out came a group of police in battle dress, fully kitted out and body armor and all this, seized this banner, took it inside and burned it, apparently on express orders of Thabo Mbeki. Now, what about this banner was so offensive to Thabo Mbeki? It's from Deuteronomy 30. "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your children may live." And this he considered hate speech. So he had it burned. without so much as a hearing, just arbitrarily. Robin Morgan is one of the Women's Liberation Movement high priestesses. And this is what they call women's equality. Women's strike for peace and equality. Notice, I'm not breeding for the men's war. And they're supporting the Viet Cong on this particular occasion. Gay power, black power, woman power, student power, all power to the people. By the way, if any of you think you're the people, you're wrong. I've been in some of these meetings where I've said, I'm one of the people too. And I said, no, you're not. I said, he's telling me I'm not a person. I said, no, you're not a person. Well, what am I? You know, you're a bourgeois oppressor and so on, or you're a white male and things like this. So who are the people? No, the people are the party. What party? The Communist Party. When they say the people shall govern, they don't mean all the people. They mean the party, the Communist Party. Gay power, black power, woman power, student power. It doesn't say anything about manpower. You know, men are basically only good for fertilizer, quote unquote. Chauvinist, beware, women's liberation will get your wife. Real men are feminists. Look, this might be a male, but he hasn't a clue what a man is, that's for sure. You've got a lot of males who've joined this feminist movement too. Feminists are the majority, well, in their dreams maybe. A man's role is uncertain, undefined, and unnecessary. Maleness is an accidental recessive mutation. It is abnormal. It bodes no good for the human race. They think they can have the human race without males. Actually, I think we need one another. I don't think it's possible otherwise. How do you like this one? Putting a man on the moon was a good start. We should put all the men in the moon and then turn off the oxygen. Gloria Steinem declared, women need a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And so this is feminism. I had an abortion, and she is celebrating that. Gloria Steinem, Ms. Magazine. Jane Fonda, another hideous traitor and radical feminist. Special issue on men. As sons, lovers, at work, in bed, or not at all. Fighting words, a toolkit for combating the religious right. Robin Morgan, oh, she's not just against men, she's against the religious right, which probably means real Christianity. There was a time when Father Knows Best was a popular TV program, but that was a very long time ago. Father Knows Best was the theme of movies and books and plays a long time ago, but now most films portray fathers as knowing nothing at all. Even the dog in Beethoven is more intelligent and perceptive in business matters than the dad. And that's a pro-family film. The dad is stupid. The dog knows more than the dad. Yet social scientists have proved that this long war against fathers has actually produced catastrophic social consequences. The vast majority of prison inmates come from fatherless homes. Children brought up in broken homes with abusive or absent fathers or born out of wedlock and raised by single mothers are much more at risk for failure at school, involvement in drugs, drunkenness, depression, sexual promiscuity, gender confusion, gangs, crime and violence. One example of which you heard from on Tuesday. Anthony Stunder was abandoned as a child. He didn't have a father, didn't have a mother, and he went into all these things. Only the grace of God pulled him out. The social engineering disaster of government programs subsidizing sin and funding unwed mothers has led to social disintegration. My wife, Lenora, was brought up in Salzburg, Austria. She went to a school reunion event several years ago, and she said she was the only one of her class. Actually, it was several classes at a school. The only one of all the girls that she was at school with who was married. All the others were either divorced or living with someone, broken homes. There wasn't one intact family amongst all of those. And my wife, who loves Austria, said she'd never want to bring up her children in Europe. She prefers Africa because we have a strong Christian culture here. She said she'd never want to bring up her children in the land that she loves because it's so anti-Christian. male, so anti-family, so anti-God. Whatever a government subsidizes, you have more of. Why were her girlfriends from school not married? It's more financially beneficial to live in sin. You get more taxes if you're married in Austria. And so many of her friends, they didn't get married because of the tax benefit of not getting married. And of course, that meant it was easier to break up and all the rest of it. So they didn't stay together. By socialist states usurping the role of fathers, paying young girls for falling pregnant out of wedlock, we now have many millions of single parent homes with all the juvenile delinquency that goes along with that. Children brought up in a single parent home are more at risk for every criminal behavior, and on average, they live shorter lives, much shorter lives. 4 years less on average than those raised in intact families with both parents at home. Now, while some exemplary mothers have succeeded in raising children on their own, the odds are heavily against them. Dr. Ben Carson was raised in a single parent home where his mother could not even read, and yet she raised a brain surgeon. But he says the best thing you can do for anyone on welfare is get them off it. Socialism seeks to usurp God and refashion society by redefining marriage and removing fathers from the equation. Hostility to the fatherhood of God is behind the continual attack on fathers by the secular humanist media and by socialist governments. Real dads support their children without the law telling them they have to. It should be the most natural thing in the world that a father wants to raise and protect and love his children in action. Tragically, many men have given up their duty and drifted away from the God-given duties and responsibilities. So deadbeat dads deserting their duties is a disaster. Social studies have proved that the more involved a father is in the life of their children, the more successful that child will be in every area of life, and the longer those children will live too. Personal relationships of duty and parental responsibility are the bedrock of civilization. A family that reads together and prays together stays together. And of course, love for animals is a very important part of it too. And this is an emphasis in Charles Dickens's books as well. Karl Marx declared that to make a country communist, you need to turn the children against the fathers. The denigration of dads has wreaked havoc on families and society. Do you want to know something about the family of Karl Marx? His family is a disaster. Karl Marx had 7 children by his wife, Jenny, another by his housemaid, Helen Demuth. 3 of Karl Marx's children starved to death while he was publishing communist propaganda with money that could have fed his kids. 5 of his children died prematurely. One of his daughters, Eleanor, married Edward Aveling, a Satanist known for his blasphemous lectures on the wickedness of God and his poem of love to Satan. 2 of his daughters committed suicide, and his wife, Jenny, also committed suicide. He must have been a bundle of laughs to live with. The war against masculinity in the West since the 1960s has resulted in a catastrophic decline of marriage, plummeting birth rates, and more singles than ever before. Do you know that Paul Kruger, the president of the Transvaal Republic, he had 17 children, 144 grandchildren in his lifetime. So your great-great-grandmother might have had 12 children. Your grandmother might have had 8 children. Your mother might have had 4 children. And you have an abortion and a dog, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. This is the way society is being destroyed. Feminism is the theory, lesbianism is the practice. Wow. Quote unquote, women must become disgusted with every aspect of femininity. You must become a lesbian to be fully feminist. I'm quoting straight from the feminist movement. There's Ty Grace Atkinson. Now, this movement calls itself feminist, but it's got nothing to do with femininity. They hate femininity. They call it the feminist movement, but it's an anti-feminine movement. Ty Grace Atkinson, arrested at one demonstration. This is this witch late in life. Charlotte Gilman said, housewives are parasites with the aspirations of a guinea pig. In other words, a homemaker, a full-time homemaker who puts her primary focus on raising her children, providing a loving, safe home for her children and for her husband, She is like a guinea pig. That's the mentality of the feminists. They despise women being mothers. Kate Lombardi says Mother's Day is sexist. Vivian Gornick said being a housewife is an illegitimate profession. And by the way, this is the same person who says prostitution should be legalized. But being a housewife is an illegitimate profession. You see where these people are going? Louis Farrakhan says all white men go to hell. They're termites, insects to be exterminated. The white race is absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. No other people on the face of earth has ever been able to get along with white people since white people have been on our planet. Probably landed from some other planet, apparently. But God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to think multi-generationally. We must leave a legacy for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We need to leave them with a better standard, a better purpose, a better vision, a better mission, a better work ethic, and a better world. I pray my children will love God more wholeheartedly than I have, hate sin more wholeheartedly than I have, and be more effective in God's service than I've been. And to do this, we've got to get them on the streets. We've got to get them outside the abortion clinics. We've got to get them brought up in the Word of God, learning how to present the gospel, getting out on missions across the border, and having a vision for this world. You have one Father in heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ taught us when we are to pray, we are to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Apostles' Creed, we declare, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. One of the great biographies of a convert from Islam is I dare to call him Father. Begin Bilkis Sheikh was a Pakistani woman who wrote of a conversion to Christ in a classic book, I Dared to Call Him Father, published in 1978. Absolute, outstanding, landmark book, which when I was converted was one of the key things that all of us read who are interested in Muslim evangelism. This best-selling autobiography has remained one of the most popular Muslim to Christianity conversion books of the 20th century, translated into numerous languages. As she explains, there are 99 names for God in the Quran, but Father is not one of them. Indeed, it is unique to Christianity that God is revealed as a loving Father who teaches, who disciples, who provides for, and who protects us. And that's the model for fathers on earth. Fathers are called to love and teach and disciple and provide for and protect their wife and children. Martin Luther said, there's no more sacrificial love on earth than that of a parent. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, we read, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. Of course, we must provide housing, medical care, education, love, discipleship. But if you don't provide protection, those others aren't very much use, are they? A loving father must be willing to fight for his family. I brought up my children knowing how to fight on every level, and we aim to please. By the way, this picture here of my wife got criticism from some people in America who claimed that my wife was abusive, bringing up this particular picture for bringing her children up with guns and knives. And she wrote an article on this, on why it is essential for boys to be brought up with guns and knives. And that's one of the chapters in the book, Reforming Our Family. And interesting, they're wanting us to all be wimps dependent on the government. But no, I think it's important that our children learn to fight, to defend themselves. My boys have been brought up from the earliest. You dare to defend your sisters, to protect all women, to protect your mother. All the skills, all the martial arts that you learn, it's all to enable you to protect, to provide, to care for. Men are meant to be providers and protectors. Reformer Martin Luther taught that parenthood is the true school of discipleship, and there's no love so unselfish and sacrificial as that of a parent. Martin Luther also taught that no man can remain single without sin. A man who refuses to marry is as if he has shed innocent blood, taught Luther. And today, we've probably never in the history of mankind had a generation of males who refuse to grow up, refuse to get a life, get a wife, provide for a family. We have got kids in their 50s who are still playing video games and have not yet settled down and focused on a life, chosen a wife, and started to get some serious responsibility. The abortion holocaust has not only killed millions of babies, but millions more of their potential descendants. I mean, think of that. The war against men, the war against masculinity, the war against fathers is only part of a broader war against the family, against Christian civilization. Ultimately, it is a war against God. Feminism and pornography are part of the war against God, war against men, war against fathers, war against family, war against the faith, and war against our future. Fathers are foundational to civilization. I'm not in any way trying to minimize the importance of women and mothers, but I'm focusing here in this particular presentation on fathers and men. It is faithful fathers and husbands who are the providers, producers, and protectors who pay the bills and the bonds and provide the backbone of any economy and society. By discouraging lifelong partnerships, all of society is unraveled. Civilization is not built by wild geese bachelors like this Harvey Weinstein pervert, predator, rapist, leaving a trail of broken relationships in the wake. It's by fathers, husbands, providers. Anchoring men in loving relationships and partnerships committed to raising the next generation in a stable household is what makes stable communities and productive economies work. However, as communist revolutionary Karl Marx declared, to make a country communist, you must turn the children against the fathers. By seducing men and distracting men with pornography, rejecting them through feminism, replacing them with socialism, women have less respect and less protection than ever before in history. Children are denied the security and the stability of an intact family that only an intact family can produce. And the modern schooling secular system is a war against masculinity. The entire system is rigged. And it doesn't take boys long to realize the whole system's biased against masculinity. Sit still, shut up, sit in your seat, and very quickly, the boys realize this entire system's aimed more for girls. Boys are always made out to be the dunces, and anyway, the girls grow up quicker and they outstrip the boys academically very quickly. So in a co-ed school, the boys start to feel like idiots after a while. And of course, girls can be very mean. I was brought up in an all-boys school in Rhodesia, and when I came to South Africa, I suddenly thrown in a co-ed school for the first time in my life at age 17 at Pylons High School. And I had no idea that these beautiful creatures could be so vicious and mean with their tongues. And it was staggering. Nothing had prepared me for it. I'd never interacted with girls before. I got into matric in Pylons High, and what a shock to the system it was. The verbal bullying was worse than, at least in Rhodesia, I just got beaten up physically, but to be beaten up verbally is a whole different story. And so many of the young boys, they turn to video games, drugs, drink, gangs. They drop out. And they turn to videos. And of course, the classroom is full of this kind of new age garbage. The Communist Manifesto makes it clear. Who invented state schooling? Communism. John Dewey is a communist. The whole point of communism is compulsory education. Karl Marx was the innovator of the idea that the state should control education, train teachers, certify teachers, produce textbooks. This is a communist 1848 Marxist manifesto story. And this is all part of the Common Core. If you haven't seen the film Indoctrination, highly recommend. We've shown it on previous BWSs. Indoctrination. Public schools and the decline of Christianity. Absolutely vital. They're not really schools. They're indoctrination gulags. And the kids are bored out of their minds. Imagine being sentenced to 12 years in a government gulag. I mean, it's tedious. It's terrible. It's absolutely brain-numbing. And these poor kids, yes, you don't realize what's going on with the schools. When we were homeschooling, I was traveling around the country and managed to take my sons around at different times. So Calvin gets to school and he thought, this looks exciting, all wearing uniforms. So I'd kind of join him in the classroom for a while. So sure enough, I went on the radio station, came back and to get a picture of my son in the classroom, actually sitting at a desk. And he wasn't there. I asked teacher, said he asked to go to the library. Went to the library, Yes, Calvin did come in here, but he left immediately afterwards. I went outside and thought, the guy's six and he's worked out a two-step program to escape from the system within an hour. And next thing I hear him screaming with delight. He's on the back of someone's motorbike roaring down the road at this mission station. And that was his experience of public schooling. Well, that's a Christian schooler. When I spoke to him about it, he said, they want me to sit in a desk and be quiet. Isn't that terrible? So according to atheists, teaching a child about God is child abuse. But teaching a child to twerk at sexually explicit gay parades is normal. And you can imagine when they start to burn your flag, you wonder if it's time to maybe homeschool. Come away from the window. You don't want to be a child left behind. Yep, it's brain-numbing indoctrination. If we are to avoid a future of cultural separatism in this country, it's imperative we end systematic indoctrination of teachers and students. You Google school makes me, and what's the first things that come up? Depressed, suicidal, anxious, cry, feel stupid, sick, so tired, sad, tired, so stressed. Try it out on Google. School makes me. It's child abuse. Now, we expect indoctrination in communist countries like North Korea and China, red scarves and all. But what you don't expect is it's happening in our own schools. Education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think critically. The anti-Christian bias, the pro-Islamic bias in the school textbooks, it's horrendous. And so you've got all these sort of things here where do you really want your kid to be in a situation where they call out the police and child welfare because you witnessed to a kid or something like that? And so you get these mothers who think, oh, we sent little Billy to the government school so he can be a missionary. Yeah, see how that's working out. A companion of fools suffers harm. It's like they suck their brains out. Brainwashing and indoctrination. When we get done with you, not only will you have a slim chance of finding work, but you won't be able to think for yourself to save your life. And that's what's happening in communist schools, but I'm afraid a lot of the communists have moved into our education system too. The problem is not with people being uneducated. The problem is they're educated just enough to believe what they've been taught and not educated enough to question what they've been taught. I remember Ronald Reagan saying at the first mission I did to America, I heard him standing up there and saying that the most dangerous words in English language is, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. And then he said, it's not that our liberal friends are uneducated. It's just that so much of what they know just isn't so. To get able to be unbrainwashed. Basically today, higher education is a money-making industry and the student's a consumer. And what they're producing is terrible. 12 years of brainwashing. And the end is, forget about evolution, it's devolution now. Locked mind. Definition of stupid, knowing the truth, seeing the truth, but still believing the lies. So why do I have to go to school? So you can be molded into a state-approved homogenous drone that cannot think outside the prescribed consensus. You will learn to repeat information instead of how to think for yourself so that you don't become a threat to the status quo. When you graduate, you'll get a job, pay your taxes in order to perpetuate the corporate system of indentured servitude. That should be an honest answer. R.C. Sproul said in my hearing, we are probably living in the dumbest generation in the history of the world. He said, I've got proof for this. You used to have to be able to debate in Greek and Latin in order to enter university. Now you have remedial English in university. In Old Mutual Pinelands, they have high school teachers teaching English to their managers and teaching computation to their accountants. They've got University of Cape Town degrees in accounting and management. They can't read, can't write, can't spell, can't think, can't compute. They've got the job. So they've got high school teachers training university graduates how to do their job. We really have a dumb generation. And this, obviously, Hollywood's had a part, but our education system's been the worst of the worst of the worst. Strange times are these in which we live. We're old and young and taught falsehoods in school, and the person that dares to call out the truth is at once called a lunatic and a fool. So, Let me race ahead here to just close this down. I see I'm out of time here. So, considering how much safer, cleaner, and better the world was under Christian leadership and a Protestant work ethic. Intact families that prayed over the meal table, went to church. Intact families. Secular humanism, situation ethics, radical feminism, pornography, abortion, the LGBTQ, gender politics, affirmative action, and other social engineering have made all of life less safe, less stable, more violent, more volatile. The issue is never the issue. The real issue is the revolution. Marxist revolutionaries are using many ploys, but whether they're turning the classes against one another, or employers against employees, or the young versus the old, or men against women, or black versus white, or gay versus straight, these issues are never the issue. The real issue is the Marxist revolution. And once the Marxists gain control, everyone suffers. The pretext they use may differ from revolution to revolution, but the goals remain the same. Destroy the family, destroy the economy, destroy the culture, create poor, hungry masses easy to control and subjugate. And the most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their own history. All that's necessary for evil triumph is for good people to do nothing. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for our fathers and our mothers. We thank you, Lord God, for families which are intact. We pray for those that are not. Lord, may you have mercy. May you bring out more Ben Carsons out of single parent homes that are struggling. May the church rally around and help those single parents to raise those children which have been abandoned by their fathers. Lord, we pray that you will challenge more young people who are living single, irresponsible lives, who are ready to settle down, choose a wife, get a life, raise a family, raise the next generation to counter this revolution of destruction. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.